Alicia Adams, Veal 4. After the war, how soon did you know the fate of your family? You know, was this confirmed at all? Not only your parents and brother, but your aunts and uncles, that big picture you've shown, mm-hmm. and the loss of so
not
many.
Not only my uncles and my aunts and my brother, but also all my childhood friends and all the people I knew in my childhood. The whole population of Drobbridge was wiped out. Drobbridge and Borisov were about 30,000 people. They were all shot. So it was not only watching my closest family being killed, but I watched everybody. I watched people, you know, when we were being taken to the Beskidin camp, when we were waiting, when we were rounded up and we were waiting there, they used to segregate us, you know. They would take someone who already couldn't work so hard, and he was put to one side, and we were staying behind. So that was something I lived with every day, and I watched every day somebody being killed, really. That was part of my childhood.
When you came to England, you know, and picked up your life and began to get well again.
Well, unfortunately, I was very ill for many years because my first operation was not successful. I was told, they thought that I was nervous, that I was putting it on, and they told me to have a baby, so I had my son. But nevertheless, this, I was getting the same attacks, and I was terribly ill. And in the end, I was operated again, and it came out, I had a very similar story to Mr. Anthony Eden, I believe. He was operated 3 times. And the third time, I think it killed him then. But the tube from the liver to the... they cut off the gallbladder the first time, and they sewed up too much the tube from the liver to the gallbladder. So they had to open me up again and to make it better. So it was not really until my second operation, when I was about 28, that I really started living. I was constantly very much in pain, and I was very, very ill. And of course, I couldn't forget what I was through. It was really... My life was really very strange because it was really through the events and people that I survived. And also later on when I went to learn French and I was told to go to the art class and I met Mr. Smith who told me that I should study art and I went to St. Martin's. It was really only when I came to St. Martin's that I met a lot of people and a lot of people of my age. I was quite different to all the students. For instance, we had a nude in the middle and we had a very charming teacher called Mr. Liverton. And Mr. Liverton worked in such a way that he had the students sit all the way around and he would run around and say, oh, you did that wrong, you did this wrong, you correct this, correct that. Well, I couldn't bear anybody being at the back of me because when I was at the Gestapo, I always had to watch my back, you see. And he couldn't understand it. You see, and I couldn't understand for a long time why I was so terribly nervous when he was at the back of me. It's only later that I realized. I also realized that I could not really connect with other people. I didn't have memories of school. I didn't have memories of normal life. I didn't have a normal life, you know. But I painted straight away in very dark colors. colors, and they called me the Blues. And there was a very charming old lady who was also painting there. And she reminded me of my grandmother. But she was a real lady. Her name was Lady Rachel Clay. And she started inviting me to parties which her grandchildren used to make for her. She was about, she must have been about 75 at the time. And she was exhibiting in Lord Leighton House. And she also lived in a millionaire's row, and she used to put up parties for 250 people. Why did she like me and invite me? I have no idea. My husband went once and he just wouldn't go again. I went because I really liked her, and it's only now that I realize how much she did for me, because when I had to speak to all these strange people, and I was terribly shy in those days, it really gave me something. After that, I was never afraid to talk to other people. She was also one of the, not curators, I don't, beneficiaries for the Tate Gallery. And she had a right to invite people to the Tate Gallery in the evening, to the private viewing. And she used to invite me with 10 other people. And it was absolutely wonderful. It was as if the Tate belonged to us, you know. And she was a very clever old lady. She was a cousin of Malcolm Muggeridge. And she was really wonderful to me, I must say. She's really done something to me to open me up to other people. And people... The other student thought that I was from the Polish aristocracy, and that's why she was inviting me. Once I remember I was invited with the wife of the American ambassador. There were some very extraordinary people there. And when they all found out that I was not a portrait painter, they used to relax because they were afraid that maybe I was after their money. And then one day I came to the party, and there was a young man, about 21, and they were all sort of bowing to this young man. And I didn't understand why. His name was Lord Ivan. And I said, why everybody is bowing to him? And they said he had 7 seats. I said, what does it mean, 7 seats? They said 7 seats means 7 castles. And so he said to me, he said, what are you doing here? And he said, what nationality are you? So I said, well, I'm Polish, but I was born in the Ukraine. So he said, it's just a thing to have a party a Ukrainian. Well, after that I never went again, and it was very silly of me, because I'm quite sure she didn't invite me because it was a thing to have to the party. He was a very stupid young man. But the funniest thing is that the other day there was an opening of the parliament with the Queen, and I heard that the Lord Ivan was either a help to the Queen or something. And I thought to myself, I counted up the years and I thought he must be 62 now.
Your art, how was that progressing? You know, you are now a professional artist, and you have exhibited all over, well, you know, internationally.
Quite
you're
in
renowned.
Paris, yes. Well, it didn't go for many years, although straight away after I left St. Martin's, I exhibited at Foyles, and... I became a member of United Family, United Society of Artists, also 35 years ago. and I was exhibiting at the Mall. I think because I became a member of the United Society of Artists so early, I was also on the list of most promising British artists in 1965 already, which wasn't bad really. There was an art critic who, I can't think of his name, but he made the sculpture, oh no, it is here, Mr. Bradshaw, Mr. Lawrence Bradshaw, he made the sculpture of Karl Marx in the cemetery in Highgate, and he was a very good critic. He wrote that my work was a true work of art. So, and that's when they took me on the most promising English artist, yes. I wasn't ambitious enough, and I didn't understand how much you have to push yourself in order to become well known. I was quite pleased to be a member of United Society and show 6 pictures in the Mall, which in those days gave us quite a good standing, you know. We always, the Mall Gallery was a federation of British artists, and showing 6 pictures, one could always sell there. There was no problem for me. At the same time, I had a son and I had a husband, and I was bringing up my family.
Do you think, Alicia, that your experience of the Holocaust, has this affected the sort of pictures, you know, your art that you paint?
Well, I think it has affected definitely in the beginning. My pictures were very dark and very blue, and they also had a great deal of feeling. I have always painted more with the feeling than with the knowledge, although I had a very good training at St. Martin's. I think Lady Clay liked my pictures really in the beginning. That's why she invited me to these parties. I didn't realize in the beginning how much my work was influenced by my past. It is obvious that Mr. Smith, who sent me to the art school, that he realized that because of my past, I needed to express myself. Art is really about communication and the ability to express one's feeling. And I didn't want to say it in words, so it was much easier to paint, to put it on canvas, because in a way I couldn't really write very well. When I was in St. Martin's, I met another fellow student, Fernando Montes, who was a Bolivian artist. And he was very, very clever man and very intelligent. And he read a lot. And I complained to him about my depressions, because I used to get very, very deep depressions. I felt very sad, sometimes even suicidal, because I felt I should never have survived. I felt that I should have died with all of them. And I was really very, very low at times. And he told me to write a diary. He said that he read somewhere that someone who survived the First World War suffered very badly, and that when he wrote a diary, it cured him. And I started writing a diary. And I must say, it did help me, because the things which I didn't want to say to other people, I could put down on the paper, and it was really my diary and my thoughts and my sorrows. And when I read it back again, it somehow sounded quite differently than the way it was in my mind. And when I read it, it helped me a great deal. And when I read it after many years, it showed me myself being young. And it was absolutely wonderful. Unfortunately, it was stolen during a robbery in my house. I had it in a sort of drawer, and it was wrapped up, and they might have thought it was something valuable there, and they took it. So that was 25 years of my writing gone.
Were there any pictures, you know, which are quite explicit about the way you were feeling or about your memory of the Holocaust?
Well, yes, there were the pictures which I painted about parting from my family, about my brother, who was really a most wonderful brother, whose loss I have never really quite survived, and for whose loss I could never ever forgive the Germans. I think every girl, every woman has a brother, and I don't suppose I can really express what I felt when I lost him. And I have missed him right through my life. And now, when I'm growing old, I have no support at all, because I have no family. If my brother had lived and married, I could have had nephews, I could have had nieces. I could have had someone I could go to and talk if I wanted to say something about myself that I wouldn't want anybody else to know. Like this, I feel sometimes that I'm completely alone, really.
The painting, Two Frightened Children.
Yes.
Which one is your brother?
My brother is the oldest one. I'm hiding behind him.
I notice you've got sort of smoke, rather
yes,
like a crematorium.
But these smokes were really symbolic, because they didn't put us into gas chambers. They shot us. So, but that's what I painted after the war. I heard about the gas chambers then, and that's how I expressed.
I know you also painted about parting from your parents.
Yes.
Is that the painting called The Parting?
Yes. That is the painting about leaving my parents in prison.
Again, is the sort of scene of you all sort of saying goodbye and cherishing each other,
that's right.
Is that symbolic? Did that happen before you left?
Well, in a way it is also symbolic, because as I told you in my tape, I was literally pushed out of prison by my mother. So there was no time really to say goodbye.
You were saying the night before, though, when you were together with the coat, that you were sort of cuddling each other, rather like this, is
probably,
that right?
Probably, yes. All that must have been in my subconscious memory, you know. We don't really know what is subconscious and how it is kept within us and how it comes out. I mean, that was painted in 1962, I think. And that's already, my parents were killed in 1943.
This would be, there are four figures here.
Yes, my grandmother is one of them. That's my grandmother, yes.
You painted another called Sorrow.
Yes, well, that was about my sorrow, because I really have cried myself to sleep for many nights and for many years. I could never really forget my family, my friends, nor my past.
Are these prison? You've got bars going down.
Yes, well, that's the memory of the prison. Yes, that is because I really wanted to live, and yet after the war, I felt so terribly guilty about having survived.
It also, you know, knowing what you went through with Poldek, you know, how he abused you, really.
He didn't really abuse me. He wanted to have love making because he thought that he will be killed tomorrow. So that was his way of life, of growing up and of becoming a man. And he wanted to become as quickly as possible a man because he knew he will be dead tomorrow. So I can't really blame him. I mean, I blamed him subconsciously because I was a child. But looking back at it, I understand him.
This particular picture, though, sorry, it's very sort of virginal, isn't it? Does it?
It's young. It's not virginal.
Does it? Is there any sort of connection with your experience, do you think?
I don't think so, but I don't really know. I have no idea. No, it just portrays me being young and being alone. That picture is about the refugees. That's about the journey from Ukraine to Poland, and also the memory of all the people who were shot and died.
Was that a very chaotic time, you know, being a refugee and fleeing as you... Well, you weren't really fleeing, but you were going over to the West.
We were going to unknown. Of course, it was a very unsettling and a very terrifying journey. We were hungry and we had no clothes and we didn't know where we were going and we didn't know what was going to happen to us. So it was a very, very strange time.
It's a very concentrated picture, isn't it, that? A lot of people together.
Yes, they had linked together, yes.
Was it very crowded, you know, when you were in the cattle trucks?
Oh, it was crowded, yes. There were families living together, sure. That picture is about me already here in my studio. I specialized in St. Martin's because I felt I wanted to contribute something to the art, but I didn't feel confident enough to contribute in a figurative way. I thought that since I was a woman, and also when I was in Paris, you know, I had to go to the consulate and to stamp my visa. My visa was always on me for 3 months. And the officials were terribly rude to me. They were really very, very nasty, the French officials. But the Préfecture de la Police was opposite the flower market. And I used to go to the flower market and smell flowers, and the flowers smelled much nicer than people. So I decided to paint flowers. I told one of my teachers at St. Martin's that I wanted to specialize in flower paintings, and he told me to paint 50 flower paintings. So I painted 50 flower paintings. After I painted 50 flower paintings, I couldn't look at another flower. It was then that I started painting figures.
But looking around your studio, there are a lot of flowers, aren't there?
Yes, I always paint flower paintings, and I paint usually figures with some flowers in. There is always a flower motif somewhere.
Yes, I noticed, you know, they're very colourful and very joyous, really, your pictures, aren't they?
Well, I've always loved life very much, maybe because it came to me with such difficulty.
There's also a very interesting picture that I know you had in your Amnesty International exhibition.
No, that one was not.
Oh, it wasn't. Oh.
No, it was in my last exhibition.
I see, the one in Oxford.
In Oxford,
yes. Going up soon, but where? Is that about death?
Yes, it is. Because I am now 71, and I can't be sure how much time I have got left. So I think of that picture about death, yes.
It doesn't look frightening at all. It's far, again, it's a very lovely, colourful picture. Have you changed your sort of view of death from all that you experienced in the war?
Well, I can't say that I am in a hurry to go up there. I don't really know where I'm going, and I don't really know what is there. But, you see, I believe sincerely that there is another life, another, not so much life, yes, another life going alongside our life, and it is the life of the dead. And that really was one of the reasons why I wrote to Amnesty International, because I feel that if I go to the other side, they might ask me what I have done about their suffering and what they have been through. So I wanted to do something. I wanted to tell people what my friends and my family went through before they died. So if I go to the other side, I can tell them that I have done everything I possibly could.
And this last one, which was also in your exhibition in Oxford.
It's called Forget Me Nots, because I promised that I will never forget my family nor what has happened to them. But it is also very much about Poland, the Polish rivers, and the forget-me-nots which always grow near the Polish river. So it is in a way also about my child.
And has it helped you, you know, being able to express this in your art? You know, you were saying how you used to get very...
I'm quite sure that... It has helped me a great deal. In fact, I remember I had to go once to a psychiatrist. That was when I came to England. And he told me the way I was talking to him that I would make a very good artist. He said, because I feel things very deeply. And he said, if I want to get cured from my depression, I would have to come to him 3 times a week and talk to him. And I thought to myself, 3 times a week I can go to a drawing class and make my drawing better. So that's why I never ever went to a psychiatrist again. I think that answers your question, yes.
Did you, you know, when you were going to the art classes and with Mrs. Clay or Lady Clay, was it? Mm. Lady Clay. Did you talk about, were you able to talk about your experiences to people?
I never told them anything.
Did they ask you?
I don't think they knew. No, I just said I was Polish. And that was it.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think it would have helped you? Had you been able to?
I told Fernando Montes about it. And, I mean, he did help me by telling me to write my diary. But then he was a very close friend of mine. He was the only one with whom I really became very, very friendly at St. Martin's. I never told anybody. When I came to Sir John Cass, that was much later, I think I told 2 friends, and they took me out on Anne Frank's day. But otherwise, I never talked.